saw that they were going to take him. They said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? We saw last week they had two swords. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer or permit ye thus far. And he touched, that is, he reached forth and touched his ear and healed him. Again, Luke is the only one who records the actual miracle. Matthew and Mark and John all record the events spent the last 3 weeks. His ear and healed him. And I believe the reason that Luke recorded this, besides the fact that he was the only one that God led to do so. But Luke, of course, was a physician. And I believe this is something that just absolutely amazed him. That Jesus just reached forth and touched that ear. I mean, here's a physician. The ear of Malchus is probably hanging by a thread. And Jesus simply reached forth and touched his ear. And the immediate result was that Malchus was healed. And he touched his ear and healed him. That is, he healed his ear as if his ear had never been severed. I don't believe you could even tell that the ear of Malchus had ever been cut off. The Lord healed him. But once again, this illustrates the power of Christ's touch. Christ healed in many different ways. And there's reason for that, because otherwise, if Christ only healed in one way, then we would put Christ in that box, and that's where we would keep him. But Christ healed in a variety of ways. Sometimes he touched. Sometimes he just spoke. Sometimes he spit and touched. Sometimes he really did nothing. He just said, go thy way, thou art healed. But he healed in a variety of different ways. The power is in Christ. The power is in Christ, whether he speaks or whether he touches. But again, this is the last recorded miracle of Christ during his earthly ministry. And we read that he touched the ear of Malchus. This, of course, is not the first time that Christ touched someone and healed them. Remember Peter's mother-in-law? She lying sick of the fever, and the Lord touched her, and the fever left. Matthew 17 and verse 7, I believe it is, that Peter touched a leper, or the Lord touched a leper and healed him. It was miraculous, just the fact that the Lord could touch a leper and not become leprous. He's the only one who could do that. We see on other occasions the Lord touched the eyes of the blind and they saw. We see on one occasion, remember the widow woman of Nain? They're in a funeral procession. And Jesus stopped the procession and says he touched the bier, or he touched the casket. And then he spoke the word, arise. And the son arose. So there is restoring power in the simple touch of the Lord. But as you look at all the healing miracles of Christ, whatever method Christ chose to use, there is a simplicity about every one of them. And that sends a message loud and clear. Christ did not have any difficulty. In fact, one disease or ailment was no more difficult to Christ than the other. You and I are the only ones who put degree of difficulty. There is no degree of difficulty with the Lord. It's simple. He can touch, he can speak, or whatever other method he may choose. So the Lord can restore, and he does so very easily. So here we have in one act, in one moment, Christ brought restoration. He restored. He restored the damage that was done by Peter's action. The Lord can do that. We thank God for that. You and I can bring a lot of damage. The Lord can restore. The Lord can completely nullify the damage that we've done. He can do that. He does not always choose to do that. Sometimes we have to live with the damage that we've done. But he can nullify just by intervening. And that's why we should often pray, Lord, intervene. However you see fit. I learned a long time ago not to tell God how to do his business. Lord, however you see fit, whatever it takes. That's true when I pray for myself. That's true when I pray for others. So what we have here is just yet another example of the transforming, of the restoring power and sufficiency of Christ, and the difference that Christ can make. Now, in this event, there is a manifestation of both Christ's power to destroy and Christ's power to heal. The manifestation of his power to destroy is when he said, I am, and they fell backward. He could have destroyed them right there. We must always remember that. Christ has the power to destroy. He also has the power to heal, as he did here. The miracle also manifests the hardness of heart in man. You think about it. This servant of the high priest, no doubt, was one of them who reached forth to lay hold of Christ, and as soon as he did, Peter cut off his ear. And the Lord reached forth and healed him. You would think, but if you know human nature, you know better. You would think, well, that would change everybody's mind about arresting him. But it didn't. It didn't. And it still doesn't today. That's why when people say, well, if the Lord would do such and such, this person would be fine. Well, you don't know human nature. The truth is, as the Lord told the rich man, if people came directly from hell and knocked on your door, they still wouldn't believe. That's the nature of man. Now, this miracle is a manifestation of Christ's mercy. It's a manifestation of his grace and his mercy, as all the miracles are. But think about it. Malchus was an enemy of the Lord. And he was acting with hostility and enmity toward Christ when Peter cut off his ear. So here is an enemy of God in the midst of an act of hostility and enmity toward Christ, and yet we read, and he touched his ear and healed him. That's grace and mercy. That's the grace and mercy of God. Notice Romans chapter 5. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's mercy, that's grace. And that Christ would reach forth in kindness and touch the ear of an enemy in the very midst of an act of hostility is mercy and grace. And that gives hope to the sinner. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and I love these next two words, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So he touched his ear and healed him. That is a manifestation of the grace and the mercy of God. Now, the Bible teaches very plainly, and we'll look at a few scriptures here in a moment, that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is merciful. That's man's only hope. There would be no hope if the Lord were not gracious and merciful. And many people make grace and mercy one and the same. I don't believe they are. I believe they're different. I believe one proceeds from the other. But they are different, and we've explained this many times. God's grace is his favor that he shows to us when he blesses us. In other words, God's grace is giving us what we do not deserve. I cannot think of anything good that a sinner deserves. Therefore, everything that a sinner has, and I'm talking even of lost sinners, is grace. God is gracious to every human being. He is so all through their life. If God gives a lost man a job, that's grace. If God gives a lost man health, that's grace. And on and on and on and on we could go. It's all grace. Mercy is God withholding what we deserve. Every day we deserve, even we that are saved, we deserve to be smitten by God. That is why when people cease to serve God because in their mind something bad has happened, they have no understanding of what they deserve. They have no understanding of the mercy of God. And when folks get in that condition, that is a manifestation of God's mercy right there. That God doesn't strike them down. Every day we are shown the grace God bestows upon us, what we do not deserve. And every day God bestows upon us mercy, he withholds what we do deserve. Again, many times, we've said this many times before, but people say, why me, why me, why me? And really, the better question is, or exclamation, why not you? Why not me? Have we done something special that tragedy should not come in our life. Here, we live in a time when we are not very far away. And I know some people think I'm crazy, but I'm here to tell you we're not very far away from God's people being put to death and thrown in jail. I believe it can happen in the next, it could happen tomorrow. We're not far away. You say, that's terrible. Not really. It really isn't. Others have lived that way. Why not us? Are we better? Do we deserve better? No. We don't deserve any better. And really, it's what our churches need today. Because there is nothing that manifests who's saved and who isn't, who's serious and who isn't, better than persecution. There's nothing that draws the line better. And I believe we've needed that for a long time. So I believe it's coming. Unless the Lord comes first, it's coming. It's coming. As soon as these hate crime laws go into effect, believe me, it's coming. It's coming. Preacher's going to preach anything, he's going to be in jail. But God's mercy has withheld that from us for a long time. And when that day comes, God will be gracious to us. But read such verses, we've run out of time, but read such verses like Exodus 34, verse 6, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9, Nehemiah 9, verse 17, and several others. Verses that in the same verse tell us that God is gracious and God is merciful. And I believe in this particular healing miracle, we see God's power to destroy, but he didn't. That's mercy. We see God restoring his ear. That's grace. We see God fixing what Peter did. And many times we need to pray, Lord, I've messed up so bad. Would you fix what I've done? Fix what I've done. We need to realize the damage that we can cause. And once we cause that damage, the Lord really the only one who can fix it. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the many things that you show us in your word and reveal to our hearts that we can apply them in our daily lives. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do so. We pray now as we prepare to go to the morning service, Lord, that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to worship you in a way that would honor and glorify your name. Be with those that are sick today. We pray, Lord, that you'd cause them to feel your presence, that you'd raise them up. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.